High school basketball is on.
Driving hard on the left hand as nobody stopped ball and getting to the glass and finishing for two.
High school basketball is brought to you by Blue River Restoration, Shelby County Drug-Free Coalition, McKay Manor, First Bank Shelbyville.
Two post players working well together.
Acra Automotive.
Nice high-low play there, walling off her defender.
Agnes Pizza King, Sandman Brothers, J&B Quality Home Furnishings. High school basketball is also brought to you by Stanley Jones Insurance, Major Health Partners, BP Dock Shops, Christian Electric, Hoosier Realtor, Penny Acres, Clark Orthodontics, Shelby Materials, H&R Block, Maximum Result.
It seems fitting somehow that Morristown would be on the road to take on Tri-High in the regular season finale on Giant FM Sports. Tri-High, been around since 1968, serves a number of communities, but one of those just to the south on 103, there on 40 as you come into town. And that town is Louisville, 1961, Marion Pierce, Indiana's all-time leading scorer before Damon Bailey would catch him in 1990. Pierce still resides down in Louisville, and while we mention some of the all-time great scorers, we get to watch one of Morristown's all-time great scorers tonight. Hayden Langcable and the Jackets against the Tri-Titans in the wrap-up of the regular season here on Giant FM. Good evening, I'm Johnny McCrory. Good to have you along on our Stanley Jones Insurance pregame report. Stanley Jones Insurance Service you can rely on. My broadcast partner, Jason Parker, and tonight the number 21 is very, very important. Morristown looks for win 21, and on point 21, and we anticipate it happening, Hayden Langcable reaches number 2,000.
Yeah, it may happen by halftime against a 7-13 tri-team. We'll see what they have planned for Langcable tonight. They don't want to be the team that he gets 2,000 on. They're probably well aware of it. But I think Langcable will easily get that tonight, and then he can put that behind him and head into sectional play, not having to worry about that, and wrap that individual milestone up here tonight.
Morristown ranked number 4 in the most recent 1A poll. Record of 20-2, and that 2 was their last game. 73-66 against Shelbyville.
Yeah, you know, I think Morristown got accomplished what Morristown wanted. I think the town wanted to prove that they could play with Shelbyville, that Hayden Langcable could score and do his thing against Shelbyville, and I think that was proven the other night. I think Morristown had an opportunity at various times in the game to maybe push over the hump and get the lead. They really couldn't do that. Shelbyville was able to maintain and eventually overpower the Jackets and give them their second loss on the season.
Morristown averaging 74 points per ball game. They've not only been winning, they've been one of the most exciting teams in the area. And it sets up for what could be a fantastic night 1 week from tonight. Yep. We're anticipating some things, but we're the broadcasters. We can afford to do that. Morristown heavily favored against Waldron in their opening quarterfinal at Southwestern Wednesday. Immediately following them will be ninth-ranked Hauser against Rising Sun. Would seem to be a tighter ball game, but certainly Hauser favored. They both win. They meet again a week from tonight.
Well, part of Hauser's coaching staff is in the building here tonight to get one last look at Morristown. And not much has changed since those teams have played. Hauser has obviously, on paper, played a more difficult schedule, and that's why they show 6 losses to Morristown's 2. But head to head, when they had to play, Hauser was the better team at Morristown, and that was the win that gave Hauser the conference championship. Morristown will have the opportunity probably Friday night to get their revenge and to advance, not win, but to advance in the sectionals to the championship round.
There's another interesting number in play tonight, and I joke with Scott McClellan that if he did not get thrown out of the JV game, he will reach a number tonight. He will tie Norman Morris for most games coached on the boys' sideline at Morristown.
Yeah, we've talked about that this week, and you know, that's an outstanding accomplishment. But I think more importantly for Scott McClellan, he's looking at this next week and a half and getting that sectional championship with this group of kids. He was able to get one back when he first started at Morristown with a whole different group and really almost a whole generation ago, almost 11 years ago. Some of those kids now have kids, and so it's been a long time since Morristown has last won a sectional, and I know that's something Scott McClellan's thinking a lot about.
Some interesting ties between these teams tonight, and we'll start with the coaches. Both Scott McClellan and Matt Lacey, the first-year head coach here at Tri, they were on the coaching staffs that were a part of the 14th annual IBCA and IHSAA underclass showcase just a couple of years ago. And Matt Lacey, a former assistant at Newcastle, a former AAU coach for Dylan Langcable, and he leads Tri in this game tonight.
Well, he walked into a situation with not a whole lot of talent, not a whole lot of varsity experience, but one thing they've been able to do, and in this single class or in this multi-class basketball setup, they've been able to beat every team in their sectional field, so that even though they've only won seven games, they've beaten everybody that they potentially could play next week in a sectional. So an opportunity for Coach Lacey to win a sectional in his first year is very reasonable.
Try it 7-13. You are hard-pressed to find many winning seasons in Tri history. Last time they were above 500, they were also sectional champs in 04-05. They won 15 games that year before running into Lafayette Central Catholic in the regional semifinal. And if you go back through John Harrell, and I know a lot of our listeners and fans around the area do, you don't find another winning season for Tri dating back through 93-94. Matt Lacey, quick to point out, though, he knows the history. He goes back to the mid-70s and a four-year stretch where Tri High won over 100 games and three sectionals in one stretch. He tries to impress upon especially some of his younger players who are going to be here for a while, I'd love for you guys to be the beginning of something special. Can you get things started at a program that has been quiet for a long, long time?
Well, that's what has to happen, and right now it has to start in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Those kids have to buy into what Coach Lacey's selling, and by the time they become sophomores, juniors, and seniors, that's when the winning can start more consistently. You look up here at the banners, 1976, 1977, both sectional championship teams, and I bet you back in the day that sectional was not very easy to get out of, being so close to Newcastle. I'm sure they had to go through Newcastle sectional.
A 5'11 guard by the name of Nick Wilson averaged 7.5 a game last year, leading scorer this year at 11.5. His teammate, a senior, Matt Phelps, at 8.4. He actually was the leading returning scorer, but he averaged right around 8 points per game last year as well. So you're Tri-High, you have some aspirations for the postseason because of how you fared against the sectional field. What are your aspirations on senior night with a Morristown team coming in that I don't want to say wants to get themselves right? There's certainly nothing wrong with the one loss they just had, but I know they would like to get Hayden where they want him to be. They'd love to get a win, maybe get it early if they can, and then make sure everybody walks out of here healthy to go to the postseason.
Well, I think for Tri, they've got to somehow find a way to defensively stop or slow down Morristown. Just on paper, it's a 20-point game already, and so Tri's going to have to either score with Morristown or somehow slow them down, and I don't see the latter happening. I don't see Tri slowing them down, so they're somehow going to have to find points where they just haven't found them very often this year.
We're extended a bit tonight, senior night at Tri-High, and I still see them filed out the doorway, so 20 minutes remain on the warm-up clock, and we've got a ways to go before we get to tip-off here this evening. A lot to get to. We've got postseason brackets to talk about. We've got coaches' conversations. We'll do that next on the Stanley Jones Insurance pregame on Giant FM Sports.
Get the inside story on Giant FM Sports.
Regular season finale for Morristown on the road at Tri-High, joined by Yellow Jackets head coach Scott McClellan. Our coaches' conversation brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville. It's been an outstanding season. One more game to close out the regular slate and then on to the sectional. It's an exciting time.
It is. It's always an exciting time with the sectional and now that everybody knows the draw and kind of, you know, it is. It's an exciting time, always what you play for. So, we've got one more game here that we want to make sure that we can get and have a little momentum and feel better about ourselves going into next Wednesday night and playing Walder.
Going to be heavily favored in this game tonight. Doesn't mean you get a win by just walking on the court, but if you take care of business, you're in good shape. Talk about what you'd like to get accomplished here this evening.
Well, I think more than anything, I mean, there's a couple things we'd really like to get accomplished. I mean, I was really happy with the guys' attitude. Well, I've been happy with their attitudes all year, but just their effort, their resiliency to get back to work after Saturday. I thought Monday was really, really good. We talked about responding from a loss, how this group has responded from a loss earlier in the year. They rattled off 18 wins, 2 championships, how we responded to a couple losses last year with a county tournament win, and just kind of the idea of trying to push to a higher ground. And this group has done that. They've showed that. I was really happy with our practice on Monday. I've been really happy with the way the guys have been dialed in this week. I felt like we had 4 pretty good days of practice, and certainly early in the week were really good. We've got to take care of business. We're a much improving Tri-High team. The Phelps kid has shown that he can score. He's a tough matchup. So I think, we got to do that. I think one thing we've really got to do tonight is we got to get the tempo in our favor. So we can really, and then we attack their zones, because I anticipate getting a lot of zones. Defensively, limiting, Phelps and their point guards from getting, their guards from getting to the basket. But, I think we're just getting them to play quicker, play more of an upper pace type game, which I think favors us for tonight. And certainly, I think kind of sets the tone going into next week.
Hayden, 21 away from 2,000.
Yeah, we haven't dwelt much on it, talked about it. It's in the back of my mind. I'll be real honest. I want him to get it tonight. I really do. That doesn't mean we're going to get silly and just, let him just kind of, but I do. I want him to get it tonight. It's an unbelievable accomplishment. 2,000 points. I mean, when you look at all the great players in the history of this state, I mean, 1A, 2A, pre-class basketball, whatever it may be. I mean, to have your name with some of the likes that he's going to, Romeo Langford, Billy Shepard, I know I'm leaving some people out, but I mean, just unbelievable accomplishment, something I want to see him get tonight, just to get it done, get out of the way. He's very deserving of it. Everything he's gotten, he's earned, and we'd love to see him do that tonight, hopefully early, maybe get some rest, but we got to play, hopefully if we do what we're supposed to do, what we've shown this week in practice, we'll be in great shape.
Thanks to Fred Miller for the next one. Now, as long as you don't get yourself kicked out of the JV game, and this conversation is recorded before the JV game, you'll end up being tied with the sectional game to come for the most games coached on the boys' sideline at Morristown.
Wow. Humbled to have that opportunity. A lot of things go through my mind. You think about this year's team, but I think about a lot of kids that have played for us. And that means I'm getting older too. Very, very appreciative of the opportunity that's been given to me, both the first time and now certainly the second time. When I think about stuff like that, I think about all the relationships and great kids I've had the opportunity to coach, and some really terrific assistant coaches. I don't really know what to say. I mean, I just seem to keep everything just about this group and tonight moving forward and trying to get another win, added momentum, and hopefully we can get 3 wins next weekend.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Scott McClellan, head coach of the Yellow Jackets, with us on the pregame from Tri-High on Giant FM Sports.
When you take the action,
the team of knowledgeable professionals at Clark Orthodontics know how a beautiful smile can affect you.
Closing down the regular season on this final Friday night into Tri High School to see the Titans welcome in Morristown, joined by head coach Matt Lacy here at Tri High. First year head coach with this program. Tell me what things have been like for you, and maybe greater assess what has this team accomplished based upon what you thought they could get done.
Well, accomplishment-wise, we, you know, our goals are still ahead of us. So we matched our season total wins from last year, hoping we our goal was to break that by the regular season. So this game tonight, obviously, that to meet our goal, we'd have to win tonight. But you know, besides that, these guys have learned the game of basketball. And really, I thought some of the goals coming into the season was build a camaraderie, kind of a team where they got along and pulled for one another. And so that's been a large part of the focus. Sky's the limit. You know, we go into sectionals. We had, we're 5-0 versus the teams in our sectional, but they were all hard-fought wins, and several of them were here at our place. So now it'll be on a neutral court. It's really anybody's game. These guys, on a personal level, that's what I, you know, love about basketball is I love watching these guys develop as players and as guys, and I love winning. Hopefully you can do both at the same time. But, you know, seeing where these guys came from, just the attitudes, the aggressiveness, the confidence, trying to just make them believe, you know, they're winners. You know, when you lose a lot, you might feel that way, and I just wanted to let them know that, you know, it can change in a second, you know, in different circumstances, different team, different players, different coaching staff, and I believed in them from day one, and I just wanted to keep reminding them that, and I'm starting to see a little more confidence. The offense is really something that's come along really well, where, you know, understanding spacing, guys are learning more roles. They were kind of just, you know, there was a lot of finding out, you know, you did something pretty well, but then you were like, well, that's just maybe step 4 of 7.
Was there a lot of teaching to go with the coaching this year?
There was. I'll tell you, it's kind of, it's been I was thinking actually about this today, and it's been a unique season for me to where, you know, as a coach, this is my 11th year, and so there's certain ways I think of coaching and what I want to do, and you know, sometimes I think I got ahead of myself. I was trying to get them maybe doing something and realizing, well, it really, you know, unless we get better at the fundamentals, it doesn't matter what we put in. And so I think it was either maybe during Christmas break, after probably the Shannon, actually it was Shenandoah County game. And I said, you know, we got to focus, no matter what, we got to focus on passing and shooting and dribbling, ball handling. And sometimes that's difficult because you want to start working on other things and scouting. So it was tough to stay that way, but... and then also coaching-wise was a little different because getting to know them, and then we just weren't capable of doing some things, and I had to see, you know, put them in situations and allow them maybe. There was a couple times I wouldn't call a timeout just to see how they reacted, even though probably every other year I would have called a timeout. Or we gave up. We had some good games at halftime, gave up some pretty big leads in the third quarters. And typically, there's times I'll call a timeout, maybe even after the first possession. And one of the things was, you know, it wasn't necessarily our play. It was just missing layups. We were actually doing everything perfect, then we'd miss layups. And so then it gets, you know, kind of overblown that we're playing bad when really, you know, we just got to focus on finishing and we would have been playing pretty good. So sticking to the basics, fundamentals, trying to get better with their form on their shooting. But as far as offensively, they found ways to score easier baskets. They're making the game easier for themselves on offense. Now, defensively, we've been able to focus a lot more on that. I'm a defensive guy, so I'd rather stop guys defensively and get up in people, then, you know, look good on offense. That should be the easy part of the game. But we're getting there. Hopefully it can get there a little bit quicker, because if we can put both of those together, you know, we'll be a dangerous matchup.
Talk about the Morristown team you play tonight.
Well, obviously got our hands full. They got multiple guys. Obviously, Hayden is, you know, he's one of the top scorers, but he's so much more. And one thing that I like about him watching film, and I talk to our guys about, because, you know, coming in, it's funny, you know, you hear stories, or I can, you know, I did this in freshman year, I did this, and the difference about the guys who score in those high 20s and, you know, big time scores is, you know, the shot always doesn't fall every night, but they find ways to score. So either by playing good defense, getting in the passing lane, which Hayden does, following fast breaks and picking up easy misses for layups, offensive rebounds, you know, cutting in the zone in the middle, popping out, rolling to the basket. He scores in so many ways, free throw line, that, you know, even if his shot's not falling, you know he's going to get points. And when you do things like that, I mean, that's what makes you a leader, and, you know, the team, the rest of the guys follow, and they've got a lot of guys. You can't, and he'll make the pass, too, and that's what makes it tough. But they've got a lot of guys that can score the basketball. You know, obviously you got to focus on shutting down Hayden and forcing everybody else. I always say, you know, if I'd rather make guys who, you know, make them make more plays than they're used to. And if they end up making them, sometimes you just got to tip your hat to them for making them. But I'll take my chances and, you know, letting Hayden do whatever he wants. And, you know, there's kind of two goals for us tonight. And I know he's close to, I think, 2,000 points or something like that. And, you know, that's obviously a huge moment, but we're hoping that doesn't happen here on this home court. So, you know, team defense, and maybe it'll help us talk and get talking more and play better help side defense if we're focused on kind of stopping him. So maybe it can help us going in, even if he does make those passes. But really good team. You know, they can compete with schools outside of, you know, they're not just a 1A team. They can play with a lot of teams. So we got our hands full. Hopefully, I told them against Hagerstown last week, you know, we'd like to win, but our goal is to get better. These are good teams. I thought we got better at Hagerstown in a lot of different ways. You know, and like to get the W tonight, but we can work on some things that we think is going to help us during the sectional. I'll take that, too. Hopefully we can get both on senior night, because these guys, they've had great attitudes. It's been a big change for them, you know, practice-wise, and just, you know, being late. Some of them weren't used to maybe some of the discipline, and they've had great attitudes, though. They've bought in, been good teammates, and I wish I had more time with them. Time flies by, and I'm not looking forward to, hopefully the thing keeps going.
Coach, good luck in this one and next week in the postseason. Thanks for your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Matt Lacy with us, head coach at Tri-High on the pregame, brought to you by Stanley Jones Insurance on Giant FM Sports.
You know, I like the FM Sports.
Johnny McCurry, Jason Parker, Tri-High School. Titans welcome in fourth-ranked Morristown tonight on Giant FM Sports. Time for a look at our JV report, brought to you by Shelby Materials, the concrete and aggregate experts. Morristown played from behind all night, down 6 after 1, down 5 at the half, down after 3. But a big rally. Fourth quarter, Morristown wins by 5, 37-32.
Yeah, they stuck with it and finally got the lead and then extended it a little bit. And Try extended the game late with some free throws and some fouls, but the Yellow Jacket JV held on for a win.
Next week, Southwestern sectional site will open on Tuesday night with one basketball game. It will pit the home school, Southwestern, against Jack Sindel. The winner would advance to a Friday semifinal and play Oldenburg. The Spartans have played neither one of those teams this year.
Well, I think the draw really was about as perfect as Southwestern could have hoped for. I think you know, you avoid Hauser and Morristown in the first round. You get an under 500 Jacksonville team, although they're big, but they've only won eight games all year, so it's not like we're talking about a 6'9 and a 6'7 Division One type player here. So they are tall, but they've only won eight games. So for Southwestern on their home floor, an opportunity to get into Friday night's semifinal, and then an opportunity to play Oldenburg, a team that would be a tough opponent. But we've seen Southwestern beat teams this time of year, and they've definitely had the experience to handle that type of environment.
And the other side of the bracket on Wednesday night, a part of our broadcast coverage next week, the opening game Wednesday evening, tipping at 6, will be heavily favored Morristown in a rematch with Waldron. Game 2, heavy favorite as well for Hauser, the ninth-ranked team in 1A. They'll play a 500 club in Rising Sun.
Yeah, you're just kind of looking at those games and hoping that both teams get out of there injury-free and just get to Friday night, because both teams, it's just a matter of going through the minutes and playing the game to get to Friday night, and the game everybody wants to see come 7:30 on Friday.
And we'll delve a little deeper into possible Morristown-Hauser matchups again, as no doubt we work our way throughout the night. Our broadcast sectional coverage opens on Tuesday next week. We will be at Columbus East, Shelbyville in a rematch, but with a different looking roster from Columbus North. They're healthy now. They weren't in early December.
Well, in Shelbyville, you know, they're going to have to find something, I believe, in order to get past Tuesday night. Columbus North is going to come in very hungry for some revenge. Shelbyville beat them pretty handily early in the season, and an opportunity for Columbus North to find themselves in a favorable position to advance to a sectional championship. So they want to get past Shelbyville, and they certainly can do it. Shelbyville's going to have to show up and play, and they can't. They're going to have to find some answers, I think, from the last month or so that we've seen them play.
If the Golden Bears advance, they would get a rematch with Columbus East in the semifinal, and if they should win that, likely waiting in the wings, fifth-ranked Bloomington South. And if Shelbyville makes it to a championship game, it's probably going to be a third straight year they're going to have to deal with South in that title game. Quick look at Triton Central, the 2A tournament. They will play at Shenandoah. The Tigers do get the bye. They move to Friday, but they're likely going to see number 10 Howe, who could be playing 4A basketball if we wanted to move them there.
Yep. Yeah, Triton got a good draw, but it really just extends their season another night. I look for Howe to jump on Triton early, and if the Tigers are going to move on, Wyatt Felling's going to have a career night.
Let's take a look at our starting lineups for our regular season finale featuring Morristown and Tri tonight. First of all, for the visiting Yellow Jackets at 20-2 on the year, ranked number 4 in the current 1A poll, coached by Scott McClellan, averaging 74 points per game and giving up just over 52 on the defensive end. Starting at one guard, Hayden Langcable, the 6-foot senior, number 25, averaging right around 26 points, 5 rebounds per game, 57% from the field, 37% for 3, and 21 points away from 2,000.
Yeah, you heard Coach Scott McClellan talk about what an outstanding accomplishment it really is. And you look back at all the players that have played at Morristown and in the state of Indiana, and he's going to be in rare company. And I heard Coach Scott McClellan talk about a couple of guys. He left out two guys from Morristown, Brady Atkins and Hayden's brother Dylan, and he'll be joining those guys as 2,000-point scorers.
A 6-foot senior at a guard, Eli Strievel, number 23, himself a 1,000-point scorer, 16 points per game.
Yeah, just a solid career that's starting to wind down for Eli, and I know he wants to make this extend a little bit further, and his production over the next couple weeks will really tell the story of how far Morristown goes.
At a guard, a 6-foot junior, number 22, Logan Laster, 12 points, 4 rebounds per game, coming off a difficult outing his last game.
Yeah, he had a difficult night against Shelbyville, but, you know, he's had a solid season. I think he's played at a very high level, even though his point production hasn't been the same as it has in the past, and I look for Logan Laster to be just fine and come out tonight and play very well.
At a forward, sophomore, 6 feet 2 inches tall, number 32, Trevon Carlton, 7 points and 5 rebounds a game.
I thought Trevon disappeared a little bit against Shelbyville, but you know he's a younger kid against a little bit more experience and size that the Bears brought up there last weekend. So again, Trevon's just fine, but his production and what he brings defensively and offensively, but I think more importantly defensively, will tell the tale of where Morristown might be come a week from now.
And at a guard, 5'11 junior, number 33, Logan Theobald, 5 points, 4 rebounds per game, and shooting 48% from the field.
Yep, Logan's played well this year and really starting to gain confidence. He just needs to remain solid, don't turn the ball over, get his teammates the ball where they need it, and when the opportunity presents itself, hit the open shot.
Morristown with an 18-game win streak that was snapped in that loss against Shelbyville. For the Titans of Tri-High, record of 7-13 under first-year head coach Matt Lacy, 5 seniors will start in this game, and that has happened on other occasions during the course of this season. At one guard, 5'11 senior, number 13, Nick Wilson, averaging better than 11 points per game. He is the team's leading scorer. At a guard, 6'1", senior, number 24, Seth Butler, averaging 5 points and 2 rebounds per game. At a forward, 6'4", senior, number 42, Mason Phelps, at 8 points and 4 rebounds per game, the team's leading returning scorer from a year ago, and the one player Scott McClellan said is a bit of a tough matchup for his roster. Drew Mondrush, starting at a forward, a senior, 6'4", number 5, averaging 5 points and 3 rebounds per game. And rounding out Tri's starting 5, a 6'3", senior forward, number 11, Alex Melton, at 6 points and 3 rebounds per game. Tri averaging 54.9 points per game, giving up just over 62 on the defensive end, coming off a loss 57-46 at Hagerstown. Did pick up a win, though, on the 17th against Randolph Southern, 66-63, and we noted it earlier in the pregame, which feels like that started yesterday, so we'll note it again. 7 wins for Tri-High, but they're 5-0 against the upcoming sectional field, which will be over at Blue River.
Yeah, and I don't know that you want to really tout or talk about that too much as an accomplishment. I mean, it's a nice accomplishment, but you look at the other 5 teams. Let's go through that here real quick. Blue River, they're the only team over 500. They're at 11-10. Seton Catholic, 5-18. Union City, 4-18. Randolph Southern, 8-13. And for all those Morristown fans out there, Union Modoc, coached by Dan Carmody, 0-21 this year. So, yeah, Tri's 5-0, but they haven't really played that tough of a sectional field. And that might be the worst sectional in the state of Indiana.
But if you have had one winning season in about 30 years,
yeah,
you're looking for something to tell your players to keep them motivated this time of year.
Well, I guess so, yeah. And we'll see a banner probably flying high for that Class A sectional.
Tri-High and Morristown coming up. Tip-off right around the corner. You're listening to high school basketball, Giant FM Sports.
Giant FM Sports, brought to you by Heritage Automotive, every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Giant FM High School Sports being brought to you by Salmon Brothers. Why go anywhere else? Clark Orthodontics, great orthodontics, terrific smiles. J&B Quality Home Furnishings, the sleep source, mattresses and more. And by McKay Manor, independent living for seniors, safety and security of assisted services. Morristown on the road at Tri-High. We're approaching tip-off next on Giant FM Sports.
Sleep Source has a new name and a new home. The Sleep Source is now J&B Quality Home Furnishings and are now located at 2300 Marketplace Boulevard, right off State Road 44. Going from a 3,000 square foot store to a store with over 8,000 square feet, J&B Quality Home Furnishings is offering more than ever before. You'll find brand names like Serta, Tempur-Pedic, Restonic, Catnapper Recliners and Lift Chairs, and Klossener Custom Upholstery.
Get the inside story on Giant FM Sports.
Stanley Jones Insurance pregame. Final moments here. We hope.
It's been it's 8 o'clock.
A long
it's 8 o'clock,
pregame. When I first moved here and before they made changes to alter it, Gary Hamner, who was my partner then, warned me as we went to Batesville, don't start the pregame too early. I didn't really listen to him very well. Outside of the one night when we ended up broadcasting multiple JV overtimes, it was the longest pregame I maybe have ever done for basketball. And I'm telling you, here at Tri, they rivaled those old Batesville senior nights with the performance this evening.
Well, I don't know what the population of their senior class is, but three-fourths of them were introduced here tonight as seniors for some organization or the other.
And now, with the starting lineups finally on the floor for Morristown, the lights go off, the spotlight comes out, and the show begins for introducing the Tri-High Titans.
I think you should at least be over 500 if you're going to turn your lights out and introduce your starting lineups.
So every other year you get to do the lights. Oh, we didn't have a good year, so we shut the lights out.
That's right.
Or you do them on January 5th when you're above 500, but a week later you have to shut them off.
That's right.
You have an interesting way of handling policy. I don't think it would mesh well in preparation for the administration of high school basketball games.
We used to see this everywhere we went. Now you don't see it very often. In fact, this is the first time the lights have gone out all year.
You're right. It is. This is, what, our third trip to Henry County, and we didn't even go to Newcastle this year. We had two games at Hoosier Gym.
Yep.
Tri-High, 7-13. Morristown, 20-2. In the wins and losses, we have a fair explanation of what we can expect from this game tonight. So let's settle on the sub-stories. Hayden Langcable makes a push for 2,000. We hope we get a chance to witness that here this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Lane Cable has put in a lot of hard work, and it's nights like tonight where that hard work really is rewarded, and I'm not sure he quite understands what 2,000 points means, but, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now, I think he really will, and the fact that his brother has already accomplished it, maybe he has a better understanding, but I think if you ask Dylan, when he accomplished it as an 18-year-old kid, he probably didn't really understand what it was all about. But now to be considered and to be talked about as a 2,000-point scorer 8 years out of high school, I bet you Dylan will tell him that it sinks in a little bit more, and it's really a special group that you're a part of.
We are finally set for tip-off. Morristown in road black, Tri-High in home white, trimmed in maroon. And the first meeting between these boys' programs since 2013, and Morristown won that game, putting 107 points on the board in a 107-41 victory. Mason Phelps at 6'4", jumping Trevon Carlton for Morristown. Carlton wins the tip. It goes to Theobald. He throws it to Peyton Langcable, and two dribbles later, Langcable powers it up over a defender for two.
Nice tip by Carlton, right to Strebel. And then a nice pass to Langcable on the left side.
Man-to-man by Morristown as Tri comes front court. Mason Phelps with a pickup of a ball that nearly eluded him on the pass out front. And a ball now on the sideline, dropped, recovered by Melton. He'll bring it up top for Butler. Butler being defended by Logan Theobald in the man-to-man. Butler gets a screen from Phelps, and if you hit Phelps in a screen, you better see it coming. Jumper on the way from three, Melton off the rim too hard. All the way out into the hands of Wilson. He'll spin into the paint. Jumper no good. A tip-up no good. And the rebound cleared defensively by Trevon Carlton. Up court, Laster. Strevel back to Laster. Baseline penetration to the rim. Layup too hard. And may have hit his head on the way down. Laster okay, but a little slow getting back up the floor. 2-0 Morristown, just over a minute into play. Morristown, man-to-man, as the pass comes on the left sideline. Butler thought about a perimeter shot, passed it up. Phelps on the outside, defended there by Laster. Driving is Melton into the paint. Jumps it up with the right hand, no good. Rebound contested out of bounds, it'll stay Tri basketball.
Well, one advantage I see already for Tri is these boys are big.
Yes, they are. Monrush and Phelps.
Thick.
Pass in the post. Blank Cable steps in, steals it, streaks the other way, lays it in with the right hand.
17 away.
First two buckets, Langcable. Morristown up 4-0. Daniel Brenneman waits for Morristown at the scorer's table. Phelps a catch on the perimeter, defended now by Langcable. He'll lob in the post. Mondrush got behind the defender, able to turn and lay it up and in. Drew Mondrush, his first two. Morristown front court 4-2 lead. Top of the key is Langcable. Langcable to Laster. Right side, open look for three. Strebel came up empty. Rebounded by Phelps, and boy, look out. Laster came in, knocked the ball loose. He'll be called for a foul. But as the ball came out, the hands of Phelps came down and poked Laster in the face, and he ends up with the injury and the foul. He's okay again, but he will leave the game and be replaced by Daniel Brenneman. The 6'4 senior checks in for the first time. Try can tie it with a two or take the lead with a three or watch Langcable steal the ball on the sideline, run the other way, and score another layup. And that's exactly what happened.
Langcable's playing at a little bit different speed right now than Try is. He's off to a fast start, 6 points already.
6-2 Yellow Jackets. Into the front court, holding high left side is Phelps. Back to the basket, having to come out into the corner for the ball is Butler, and another bad entry pass stolen away by Carlton. And then the foul on the push after the steal whistled against Drew Mondrush, his first. Loud gym, metal roof, not far above us.
It's a pole barn.
Yes, it is. Coming, Strebel, top of the key. Langcable, baseline pass, Brenneman, flashing into the paint, turning and shooting and missing in front of the rim is Carlton, rebounded by Mondrush. Quickly up the court, Phelps in the right corner, Mondrush beyond the arc, and now left corner. Holding there is Melton. Melton gets a screen, passes it for Wilson. He'll penetrate, split defenders, nifty reverse layup, Nick Wilson. 6-4 Morristown. Langcable front court, splits defenders, mid-range jumper, good for two. That's eight. 13 to go to 2000. 8-4 Yellow Jackets. With it is Phelps sideline. Brenneman defending on Mondrush out front. Hedging out on the screen, but now getting past it and getting a shot down the right side of the lane and missing is Melton. Langcable on the push up the right side. Beyond the arc, baseline Carlton. Good for two from the corner. Javon Carlton gives Morristown a 10-4 lead on the BP Doc Shop scoreboard midway point here in the first period. Dribbling out front, surveying the defense is Wilson. Picks up his dribble. Strebel now on the cover. Wilson had trouble finding somebody. Toward the corner with it is Phelps. Lobbing for Mondrush. Double teamed under the basket. Whips it back out on the wing for Melton. Mondrush in the corner. Quick trigger on a three. Barely shaved the rim. Rebound Eli Strebel. He'll push it up the left side. Strebel down to the baseline. Drops it off for Brenneman. And Brenneman was standing out of bounds as he made the catch.
Not sure where Strebel was going with that. Probably should have either dribbled that back out himself or moved it with the pass. Tough spot to get Brenneman the ball right there.
Logan Laster returns. Strebel will get a breather. For Try High, number 22, Elijah Davis, an often starter, comes off the bench on senior night, a 6'2 junior. Davis had the dribble get away from him. Langcable nearly had the loose ball. When he missed it initially, he came back and tried to get it again, and Langcable called for the foul. First on Langcable, second on the Jackets. Try high inbounding sideline front court. Comes into Davis, cross court, Mondrush. Jumper just outside the paint, good by Drew Mondrush. 10-6, Morristown by 4, 3 minutes left to go first period. Langcable volleyball line. Outside with it is Carlton. Laster beyond the arc on the wing. Theobald. With it in the paint is Langcable. Head fake, penetrates, in front of the rim, goes up. And Langcable a bit shaken up. He seems to be looking at the right elbow as he draws the foul. The personal goes on Phelps, his first, team second. Lang Cable, two free throws, and he missed the first. 79% at the line this year. Strievel re-enters. Theobald will go to the bench for Morristown. Lang Cable's second free throw is a miss as well. Empty trip for Morristown. Elijah Davis on the rebound, and the Jackets with a foul. No, check that. Ball out of bounds on the sideline off Morristown. It'll be Tri-Basketball front court. Davis taking over the point now for Tri, initiating the offense to Phelps on the wing. He'll put it on the floor a couple of times. Back to Davis. Phelps, a left-handed shooter from the corner, missed everything. Fighting for the rebound and coming away with it is Wilson. Has it, falling away off the rim, gets the bounce.
If I'm Tri, I'm putting Mondrish and Phelps underneath the basket and just feeding that all night long.
Nick Wilson with four, 10-8, Morristown. Strievel trying to add to the lead. No good on a three, but he may be getting free throws.
Nope.
No free throws. Yep. Foul on the floor on the block out by Alex Melton after the shot. His first, team's third. Theobald back in. Brenneman will come out.